And again we say, lost be saved, empty be filled, captives go free, blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak, lame walk, maimed be whole, dead live, in the name of Jesus. Father, thine is a kingdom. Thine is a power. Thine is a glory. Forever and ever. Your will be done in Immokalee. Just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's stretch your faith this way. Father, we just lift up the names and the lives that are represented in this box, Lord, and we call each one born again. We call each one a man or woman of God filled with power and anointing, called of you, Lord, from the very foundations of the earth. Lord, you have a calling for each one. You have a plan for each one. And we say yes and amen to those plans, Lord. And we raise them up in the name of Jesus. And we just call this entire town in revival. A spirit, Lord, that, just makes, just a freedom, Lord, in this place. We call them to this place. And we call their giftings and anointings and callings to this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Okay. I want to share a little bit because Pastor's not here. What's the saying? You know, the cat leaves and the mouse play. I just want to encourage you young people because some of us, you know, it's funny to say it, but have been there, done that. And I just want to encourage you. So maybe you won't have to do some of those things. And I know it's by the grace of God that I am here. It is by the grace of God my family is here. It is by His grace alone that my children are here. But there is a plan for your life that you can follow that can be so much more free of pain than mine was. And I know I am preaching to the choir, but that's what I want to do because I just want to encourage you guys to keep praying. I'm so very proud of you. You guys meetings on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and getting together. And because it really is about sitting your butt in the seat and praying. Because better is a creep that prays, right, than a creep that doesn't pray. And so much better is a young person that prays versus what we usually have to put up with. And I am so very proud of you. And when I was young, and I'm just starting to put this all together because I really honestly did not know why when I was a young person, I had a close relationship with the Lord from when I was very young. You could find me hiding somewhere, and I'd be with the Lord. Like now you set yourself apart. I used to do that when I was a very young person. And I knew the Lord by name. We would walk together. He would tell me things as a young person. And I remember when I was in the eighth grade, I went on a field trip to Mexico. And I'm on this balcony looking out over this valley with this huge mountain range. It's very majestic. And I'm telling the Lord how beautiful it is. You know, this is so beautiful, Lord. And usually when I'm speaking to Him, before He comes, I'll feel like a breeze across my face. And I know He's coming. And He came. And I started to cry, and this tear fell down my face. And when the tear left my face, it went over the balcony. And in the spirit, I could see this tear falling to the ground. And it hit a rock. And it trickled down. And it met other tears and other water drops. And it turned into a little tributary and a little creek. And then it turned into a mighty river, and it crashed into the sea. And when it crashed in the sea, the Lord said, I'm going to use you in the revival, in the great outpouring, in this great sea of people that I'm going to collect to myself and make a part of my family. And I'm going to use you in this. And I just, you know, He's told me things before, but I knew that that was my call. And I always knew that I'd make a difference in the world. And you know, it sounds kind of catchy and cliche, like, but I have always felt like I was going to change the world and make a significant difference. And from that time, you know, I grew up in the Methodist Church where we didn't use words like revival, outpouring. I honestly can say I don't think I'd ever heard the word revival. I didn't even know what it meant. I just had a picture of it because I could see the sea of people. Well, now, as time has progressed, because I have children of my own, and I very rarely catch them hiding somewhere, and they're, you know, crying, saying, I'm with the Lord. And they have their private time, but it's more structured, you know, and they kind of know they're expected to do it, you know. So, you know, I don't find them somewhere, you know, where I've been missing them for 2 or 3 hours. Where are they at? You know, they're usually doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's not like I, you know, and I wonder about that, you know, like, why was that so weird? You know, why was I like that? And I think about Benny Hinn. When he was 11 years old, the Lord came to him in bodily form. I mean, in his room. He's 11 years old. He is not born again. He's from a Jewish family. And the Lord visits him. And I wonder about that too. You know, how, you know, what gave him the right or the authority to show up in bodily form to an 11-year-old who's growing up in a Greek Orthodox Jewish family? I mean, it seemed random, and it seemed unfair. And I've been asking the Lord about it because, you know, I'm raising 5 kids, and I want to know, why does the Lord come to Benny Hinn at 11 years old, and He didn't come to my 5 kids? And just recently, I have started to put together why I had a relationship with the Lord. And it's because my father died when I was 5 years old. And when he died, obviously, in my heart, I wanted a dad. So I turned to the Lord. And I in my heart, I asked Jesus to be my dad. And when you're 5, obviously, that wasn't such a big deal. And was natural thing to do. It wasn't like somebody took me aside and said, look, you don't have a dad, maybe you should ask Jesus, because that'd have been a good idea. But, you know, I didn't have those kind of people taking me aside now, you know, telling me that. But obviously the Lord could woo me and say, and come to me and say, you know, I'll be your dad. And so that's kind of that, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I'm just starting to figure this out. Oh, I didn't have a dad. That's why Jesus was my dad. And, you know, now it doesn't seem so strange. And I think that's what happens when you are a young person and when you're an older person. The Lord comes and He woos you. He woos everyone, saved and unsaved alike. And we've been talking about this with Pastor. You know, like Pharaoh, the Lord would come. Of course, He was coming in the, you know, in the form of Moses, let my people go. But it's still the Lord coming. It's still the Lord revealing Himself. And every time there was a plague, Pharaoh would harden his heart instead of saying, "Yes, You are God. I will allow You to be God in my life." And I just want to encourage you that when the Lord comes, lean in. There's so much grace in it. Because grace is where it's at. Grace is just power. It's power to do things that you couldn't do before out of willpower, which is just you deciding. We've all been there where we've just decided to do something, and then we're unable to do it. We were unable to fast like we wanted. We were unable to pray consistently like we wanted. But when the Lord does come and He woos us, we lean into Him and say yes as much as we can when He comes, then grace comes. And then the more grace comes, the more power comes for you to do the things you couldn't do before. And then that enables the Lord to come even more. And then you can start this cycle of grace and power and victory. And so I just encourage you, when He comes, lean in. Everything you got. Don't worry about all these other things, especially you young people. I just think about it because I got Mavis and Harry coming up, and I don't want to get caught in the trap like most of us are now, where it's a lot of work, you're busy, you're running around, because as soon as you have a wife or a husband and some kids, that whole cares of your life will take off. And, you know, when we're looking at you guys, we're just thinking, ooh, seize the moment, because you don't have all those cares. You know, just like Paul said, it's easier for me because I don't have a wife. So I can, you know, really put forth the effort. So right now, I just encourage you, make the very most of this time where there aren't any cares. And learn to walk with Him as closely as you can. And lean in and let that grace come, that power to do things that you've never done before. And when that power comes and that victory comes, you will be a whole lot less likely to settle for someone that you're not supposed to be married to. And your life will be just so much better if you can learn now how to walk real close with the Lord and receive His grace and not be running around like a chicken trying to accomplish everything in the natural. Because I know the world has so much pressure on you guys to do everything in the natural. You know, go to college and, you know, get this cool thing going, whatever the cool thing is. I mean, there's so much pressure on you guys. I mean, I think of that young guy, I don't know his name is, with the Facebook dude. You know, he's in his room, and I don't know him from Adam, but there are good spirits, there are bad spirits, okay? Good spirits are good, and bad spirits are bad, and sometimes a bad spirit can come into your room and give you this idea. You're half high because you were smoking something, and he can give you some good idea, and the next thing you know, you're a multimillionaire, or a billionaire probably in this case, and all it is the enemy trying to tie up that money so the gospel can't be preached. He just ties up money, and he does that a lot with celebrities. He does that a lot with musicians. You know, you guys think it's funny, but young people all the time, the enemy comes to them, and I mean, they make fun of it in the movies where there's this page and they sign it in blood and it's, you know, with the devil, a contract with the devil. That really happens. So I know in the world there's a lot of pressure on you guys. But I say shake it off in the name of Jesus and lean into Him and walk close to Him. And who cares what everyone else thinks. You do not have to bow down to the world that says, you know, unless you're that kid having this great idea in your college room, you're mud. It is spiritual, and it is always spiritual. And we have to live for the next life. I encourage you to meditate on the millennium. See, this dispensation is the dispensation of grace. It is probably the shortest dispensation. Then we are in the millennium. That is 1,000 years. Let's just meditate on 1,000 years. Jesus comes down. He sets up his kingdom. We rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. When you look at the people we think are cool and they're so-called ruling and reigning now, this is a very short life we live. Very short. The next 1,000 years is where we rule and reign. If we've been faithful with this short time here, and if every day you can wake up and think, God bless everybody else, but I need to get ready for the next 1,000 years. It's much longer. It's much longer. And what we do here decides our position over there. I don't know if you know this, but there's going to be people that do not have glorified bodies on the other side. That 1,000 years, we are going to demonstrate to them the gospel. It'll be manifested. It's not in faith like it is now. It'll be manifested. We'll be in glorified bodies. They will not be in glorified bodies. They will be having babies. We will be raising them up to serve God. I mean, that's how the enemy comes and makes war against the Lord, from these unglorified people. We rule and reign over unglorified people. And there's lots of them. We will have provinces, places that we govern. We will be governors. Just like there's a president of our country, 50 states. We will have states, provinces, where we will rule and reign. And it's important. It is how the Lord sets up his kingdom in that dispensation. So the next time you get on the scale and you weigh whatever you weigh, or you look in the mirror and you're not thin, or you're wearing the next size jeans, or, you know, your buddy comes up, well, what are you doing? And all you can think is, oh, no. I mean, I cleaned the house today and, you know, I prayed, you know. You just tell them, look, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know what it is. And there's no excuse. I don't have to give you some kind of crazy story about what I'm doing. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm excited about it. And just because no one else is doesn't mean anything. And I just, I'm going to pray for you guys. And I do pray. The Holy Spirit, like 2 years ago, he gave me a list. All you guys are on that list, telling me, you pray, because there's certain things that the enemy comes with. And he goes, we can bypass that if you start speaking now. So I have been speaking. I've been speaking to a spirit of perversion that you guys don't have to go there. There's like 21 people on this list, you young people that come to church. Absolutely not. We don't have to go that way and come back around. Going around this mountain, you know, so we can have a testimony. Let's have a testimony. We just didn't go there the first place. You know, and the Holy Spirit's been speaking, you know, help those young people speak over their lives. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, let's have a stiff upper lip. Let's tell the world. No, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm a world changer. The world's not going to tell me what to do. I'm a world changer. I'm going to change the world. And the Holy Ghost is going to do it through me, through the power of the gospel, by His grace. And I'm telling you, Harry and Mavis, don't let the world tell you that you have to have this cool story when people come up to you and say, what are you doing? Because they want to hear you got a full athletic scholarship to some, 1A division school or whatever. Or they want to hear all these crazy things. And you don't have to lie. You just tell them, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it. Amen. Maybe we should pray so we can be world changers. But really, we all got a long way to go home and stuff. So, 15 minutes praying in tongues, we'll just do it, okay?